jump in the night. Your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, March 8th, and it is a stormy time here in Dallas, Texas, as we're recording this. You might hear like, it sounds like we're on Clue, the movie, where it's like...
It's a very appropriate backdrop for our freaky stories. We've got our own soundtrack tonight.
Yes, thank you, nature, for stepping in for the soundscape for us. We really appreciate that. Nature was like, it's Freaky Friday time.
Hit the thunder.
So the thunder hath been hit, which is appropriate for the lineup you've got for us today, because we got a possible cryptid. We have a very scary brush with true crime, some possible paranormal activity. So it is quite a, it runs the gamut today, story sommelier. So thank you for your selections.
Well, you're so very welcome. Thank you to everybody that sent them in. Well, this first one is jaw-dropping.
It will haunt my nightmares for sure. I mean, it's
just... This one is... And we've been holding this one for a while because it came with a disclaimer to read after a certain date because the trial for this case has... since begun. So I've been sitting on this and now it's time. So
it is a wild one, and brace yourselves.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Megan, and it is called Tinder Terror / Lady Dahmer. My friend is a police officer and told me of a very strange call that he responded to. The call from dispatch came in on a deadline with a male and female voice in the background. Since those can often indicate very serious calls, such as kidnapping or domestic violence, the PD triangulated the call to a local apartment complex, and my friend and one other car were dispatched to the scene. Upon arrival, there was nothing amiss in this complex, and things seemed very usual for around 6 p.m. at night. My friend and his partner started knocking on doors to check if anyone had heard a disturbance. A while later, a naked, bloody man ran through the parking lot being chased by a female. My friend and his partner immediately responded. My friend recognized that the man was losing a lot of blood and fast. He needed an ambulance because of a cut artery. While he tended to the man's wound, he asked the man to tell him what had happened. The man immediately began relaying how he had swiped right on this girl on Tinder, and she wanted to meet at her apartment for lunch and, well, a hookup. The guy accepted and met her at the apartment. He said they ordered lunch and started getting intimate. After a while, the woman started to tape his legs and arms with duct tape, which he thought was strange, but brushed it off as a kink and let her do her thing. She then pulled a knife from her kitchen and started to stab and cut him, telling him in a scary, sweet voice that she wanted to see his organs and cuddle with his heart. After a while, she got upset that the man was bleeding on her sheets and furniture and made him walk to the bathtub where she cuddled him while he still bled. She ordered some DoorDash and told the victim not to scream or she would kill him. After a while, she moved him back to the bed and fell asleep. While she napped, the man tried to grab the knife and cut himself free. It turns out that he was a soldier stationed at a local military base and felt that if he could get the knife, he could defend himself and leave. But the knife was too difficult to get at the time. Instead, he was able to reach her phone. He dialed 911 but left the line dead to not wake the girl up. But she did wake up, hung up the line, and berated the man for calling. She then answered the phone when dispatch called back, told them all was fine, and then hung up. She fell back asleep, and the man was finally able to get the knife. Somehow, he ended up being able to cut his legs free and flee the apartment, leaving his clothes behind and knocking over some furniture as he raced for his life. He had been held at her apartment, bleeding, for over 5 hours. The girl woke up and began to chase him until she was apprehended by police. She refused to give a statement and immediately lawyered up. This story made headline news, but the media focused on the DoorDash piece and neglected the very strange bits of the story. My friend stated that the man was distraught and was absolutely traumatized from the incident, understandably so. But the girl remained cold, her facial expression unmoving. Her trial is coming up this month, so hopefully by the time you read this, the plethora of evidence found by officers will be used to find her guilty of kidnapping and other charges. You can read more from the news in the links I've included, as well as the probable cause affidavit. Officers said the girl's apartment, having been searched upon a lawful warrant being obtained, was extremely messy. And later, one officer retorted that, if the apartment isn't clean, she doesn't get the peen. Which is definitely a way to remember that a lack of hygiene in someone you date could be a red flag. I wanted to share this to point out how men can also be subjected to dating violence, and they too need to exercise caution with how and when and who they meet on Tinder, i.e. meeting in a public place and not a personal apartment, and to watch out for red flags and behavior as well. My friend said that lots of men aren't as cued into dating safety as women are, but it's important for all, regardless of gender. Thank you, ladies. I love the show.
Well, this probable cause affidavit is horrifying, and it's pretty much lays out exactly what was said here. But the it's macabre. She really did tie him up,
yeah,
and take him to the bathtub and having blood on her arms and hands. I don't think there's a question that that's what happened, you know, given that he ran out, you know, and he was cut and she was not, and there was a knife found next to her bed. She was covered in dried blood when she came out. And that's so eerie, too, to know that she's ordered DoorDash, so there is a person, you know, within shouting distance, but you've been threatened, you know, if you make any sounds, I'll kill you, which is a menacing, a class 5 felony. She got charged with false imprisonment, 2 different assaults, and second-degree kidnapping. You know, you can't tie someone up and tell them they can't leave. That's kidnapping.
Yeah, no, you sure can't. And even if you know there's a DoorDash driver, if you've already been tortured,
cut,
and you know that she's capable of that, I mean, who's to say you yell and now the DoorDash driver is also in danger and there's 2 victims. So I'm glad that even though he didn't yell out then, he was still able to get away and use smart thinking to kind of get tracked. It is very reminiscent for several reasons about Dahmer, but specifically because the cops found that one guy running down the street naked that had escaped. And very unfortunately, Jeffrey Dahmer was able to convince them that he was drunk and it was just a fight. And they let him go back to the apartment and he was killed. Mm-hmm. So good for your friend and the other officer for, I mean, clearly recognizing that, oh, this guy is very much in distress. But what a horrifying scene to come upon, even as a seasoned cop, and then you're talking to the person and they just have zero emotion about what's going down.
Yeah, just that like eerie blank face. And smart on the victim's part to call 911 even if he couldn't make contact with the dispatcher, because, like, you know, protocol being that they respond to those calls, that's awesome, because it could be a situation like this. But it did say in the affidavit that the dispatcher overheard him say, because you cut me, and also you're going to kill me. So kind of
phone?
On the phone, not to the dispatcher, but to the other person. So that way the dispatcher's like, there's something violent going on. So just whatever you can to call that number and be able to convey. There was a viral TikTok that went around that was a woman that had been kidnapped, and she just said, oh, let me call my sister.
I've seen it.
And then it's the 911 person going, are you okay? Like, wait a minute. And just like that, the dispatcher going, I'm going to leave this line open and see what I can figure out. So, but I think the message here is a good one of don't meet for the first time. in somebody's apartment. You just never know. And it being tied up, and that's one kind of a kink thing, but the duct tape where you can't really get it off and you're vulnerable and you don't know this person, making sure that anytime I went to meet at somebody's house, I would always say, hey, I'm going to go to this person's house. Here's their what I know about them, their profile, their name, their address. And if I don't call you in 30 minutes, you know, come get me kind of thing, which sounds too much, but it might not be too much just to have people know where you're at.
I don't think it's too much.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I don't think I ever met someone for the first time by going to their place.
I have not, but I know people who have used dating apps, and it is prevalent to match on the app and then say, you know, hey, come over and let's hook up.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I remember going,
sure.
I'm like, the first time you met this guy was like going over and hooking up at his house. And my friend was like, yeah, I'm really lucky nothing happened. I'm like, well,
I mean, I'm not saying I haven't met somebody for the first time that night hooked up, but it was like, oh, maybe you talked to him for a little bit at a bar or something. Still not smart. I still don't know that person. You know, I mean, we all exercise more caution with these things now.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Wild that I just clicked on some of these links and I didn't realize how young they were. She was 22 and he was 21.
Yeah.
Or reversed. No, wait, that is, yes. Yeah. He was 21, she was 22. Man.
And yeah, he's not identified anywhere, which good for him, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know that I would want especially if you're in the military. I don't know if you want that going around everywhere. So, important thing is at least he's alive, but what a traumatic thing you will have to definitely seek therapy for.
And I'm glad he's alive and she was arrested, and it wasn't just, like you said, the cops go, oh, well, it was just we just had a disagreement, or she seemed, you know, she wasn't freaking out, so we just let her go. It's like, no, you're going down. You can't tie someone up in your house.
No, especially when there's like obvious stab wounds. So,
no, fully going to trial and going away, hopefully.
Yes, yeah, well, hopefully. Well, thank you so much for sending that in.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Well, it is my favorite time of year, which is where I'm taking off my wintry pants, and I also mean my wintry fur pants, and by that I mean shaving my legs and keeping them shaved with Athena Club razor.
We've been in hibernation, but the weather is warm, which means we can't hide under our pants any longer. It's just simply too hot. So the best way to get our legs in tip-top shape is with Athena Club.
Athena Club razor is an absolute steal. If you get the kit, it's just $10, and it comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You won't believe it. You're going to get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage, which we both love. And that means no sitting your razor on the edge of the tub where it gets all goopy and gross and the blades are all nasty or it falls on the ground in the middle of the night. That sticker sticks for real.
Dude, that goop gets all over and then it's
sick.
And then few things just immediately set me off more than when my razor falls onto the shower floor and the head pops off, and then I got to go looking for it.
Yes.
But you got that magnetic shower hook storage. You just clunk it on up there. You don't have to worry about that. It's staying put. And don't forget the quality of the shave. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those 5 precision engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let the hair pass through. So every time you're shaving, there's less irritation, which is always a win in our book. And I don't think I've ever had a multitasking razor. I love them. I'm a multitasker. You're a multitasker. We love a multitasker. This one moisturizes while you shave with an avocado oil and hyaluronic acid serum. Plus, it has built-in skin guards to help prevent razor burn.
You never have to worry about dull blades because you get refills sent on your schedule. Just choose how often you need fresh blades, and Athena Club will send them automatically with free shipping, so you always have the best blades for the best shave. All of that, the hyaluronic acid and the avocado oil are a game changer because it's a super sharp shave, so you know you're getting, like, it exfoliates, it feels like, and then you also get that, like, healing afterwards. I love them.
Also, you got to get the cloud foam. If you want to up it even a step further, get that cloud shave foam. Put that on. Then with the Athena Club razor, It is a game changer.
Yeah, no more razor bumps ever. Ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com and try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code CREEPY at checkout.
You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust us, you won't look back. Happy shaving! This next one is from Bella, and Bella writes, am I getting arrested or is this a scam call? Hello, ladies. Love you and love the pod. I first discovered your podcast during our 22-hour road trip from Seattle, Washington to Phoenix, Arizona. I fondly remember listening to the Kennedy Curse episode while my husband and dog slept as I attempted to remain brave driving the U-Haul through windy Palm Springs late at night. I was listening to Freaky Friday episode 100 and was amazed at how similar my scam call experience was to A's. Heather said something about scammers finding new ways to trick people as technology advances, and I have to say I almost fell victim to it. This was last spring, and I was working as a restaurant manager at a popular spot in my local downtown area. I had worked there for a couple of years at this point, and a part of my role was handling bad reviews and guest complaints. So when one of my hosts handed me the phone and said that the caller was asking for me specifically, I didn't think anything of it. I responded to reviews almost daily, leaving my name and work email as an option to contact. The man on the other end of the phone spoke very matter-of-fact as he verified it was me. He used my first and last name as well as my home address, stating he was from the local sheriff's department. My last name is rare and not American, and I have never met someone outside of my family who has it. Just a minor reason why I semi-believed what he had to say next. He told me that I had been summoned for jury duty, but had failed to show up. He went on to say that they had sent me notices about this issue, and someone from my address had signed off on receiving these letters. When I stammered that this was impossible, he again verified my address and included my husband's first and last name. We own the house together, but have different last names. This was my first red flag. Though he had all that information correct, the way we receive mail in our neighborhood is through a mailbox at our neighborhood park. Every house has an individual locked slot for their mail. There was no way anyone would have signed for anything. But as I was trying to figure out how that could have happened or how we could have missed such important letters, he started firmly telling me there was a warrant for my arrest unless I went to the courthouse and paid the large fine. If I remember correctly, it was somewhere around $1,500 to $2,000, which was not something I could easily obtain at that moment in time. Now, this would have been the biggest red flag of all. One of my employees the week previous had left work early in a rush because of a similar situation. He had a bad speeding ticket, and his court dates were being sent to the wrong address, so his lawyer had called him to tell him he had even more fines he needed to pay or his license would be suspended because he had missed court dates. He had rushed out early to go to the courthouse to get it all figured out. I started thinking, maybe this is how things are done in Arizona? I wasn't even really listening to the sheriff on the phone anymore because I was logically trying to figure out what my next steps would be. Would they let me leave early? Could I borrow money from my mother-in-law? I was just trying to get off the phone, and this is when the sheriff started to get more agitated. Every time I asked a question, he would go from firm to authoritative. He would speak in a rushed tone when it was clear I was attempting to hang up. He got softer as he started to explain how I could wire the money or send it electronically on their website. He started listing off how to access both of these options. One of my employees must have seen my face because she went and grabbed our GM, someone who I was close to and trusted. She told him something was off. When he walked up to me, I wrote down what the sheriff had said, and he instantly took the phone. He started asking what was this guy's badge number, and what precinct did he work for? The sheriff. That's confidential information. GM. No, it isn't. In Arizona, badge numbers are 6 digits that you can give me. The sheriff. Lists a random number. GM. I just made that 6-digit part up. This is a scam call. Never call here again, or I will call the police. And just like that, he hung up on him. We went to the office to call our regional bosses to let them know what had happened in case it was attempted at any other restaurant in our company. We both couldn't get over how much the guy knew. All the information he had about me was correct. My address, my full name, my job title. It was all so stressful, even though it probably was only a couple of minutes. But the weight of being in trouble with the law and not knowing where I would get the money was so real. It was all so stressful, even though it probably was only a couple of minutes. But the weight of being in trouble with the law and not knowing where I would get money so quickly was so real. I'm so grateful for my team, who were able to help me hang up as my brain attempted to catch up to what was going on. Looking back, it was clearly a scam, but it was enough to feel very real. Thank you, ladies, for your vulnerability and humor. I truly feel like I'm hanging out with my friends when I listen to your podcast. I appreciate that you don't shy away from talking about the injustices of the world, but always offer a little hope on how to move forward, even when that feels impossible. Keep up the good work. All the best to you and yours, pets included, Bella.
Oh, well, Bella, I don't blame you. If somebody knows like where you work, your address, your family name, that does give it a shade of realness that you're like, could this? And you just moved to town. So you're like, well, maybe that's how they do it around here. But as a PSA, they will never call you and try to get money from you. I mean, if they do, it's not like immediately wire this to me or anything, especially not over jury duty. And now as we're getting into tax season, that's the thing is like, do not ever think that the IRS is calling you on the phone, because that is ramping back up right now of being like, you haven't filed your return yet. You're late. Go ahead. You have to give me your social right now over the phone. There's also been a lot of credit card scams going around. I've seen on TikTok people saying like, it felt so real. And as employees of all these companies, do not feel bad if you go, I'm actually not comfortable with that. I'm going to hang up and call back. Can you give me like a case number? And then you hang up, go to like bankofamerica.com or discovercard.com and call the number directly. You're not going to hurt anybody's feelings. And if they are like, no, ma'am, you cannot hang up, then that's a scammer. That's actually not, that's not Discover card, or that's not Bank of America card.
No. And also, if they want you that bad and they know where you work and you live, then they'll just come arrest you.
Yeah, like, exactly.
They're not, you know, they have other ways of getting you if they really, if it's that true. So good for your coworker for recognizing something was wrong, and even better for your GM. Like, gotcha, bitch.
Yeah.
We don't have 6-digit badge number here, but it's that.
I love those tricks.
They get away with it. The scammers do, because they speak with confidence and authority. Mm-hmm. Throw that right back at them.
Yep, give it right back to him. I saw one of the newscaster ladies I follow on TikTok. She had a scammer on the line, and he was like, go ahead and give me your number. It was like a card number. And she's like, 3? And he's like, yeah. And she goes, 2, 1. And we're live here on television with a scammer on the call. We've got the FBI as well. And of course, they like immediately hung up. But the way she like, that's I love great. When they flip to that news anchor voice. But John they, Oliver.
Also, the scammer's like, God damn it, damn I thought it, I had him.
But John Oliver just did a long piece on, that's like how I get my news pretty much, is just from John
He's
Oliver.
He's great. John, I mean, I have him deliver all the news.
Pretty much. If it's like, I wonder what Heather thinks on the topic. 99.9% of the time, it's whatever John Oliver thinks. I'm always like, yes, that is correct. That is, especially when I watch Law stuff and I'm like, I want to see if you're really right. But they had the whole thing about these like of course I forget the name of it, but it's something to have to do with slaughtering pigs. But it's not. It's just that they work on these targets to get them to then turn over large quantities of money. And he kind of went into the like underlying mechanisms behind the scam and how prevalent they are and how people are losing $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 on them. And just how then on the other end, a lot of times the scammers are trafficked people that don't even want to be doing the scams, but they're forced to like work in these horrible conditions and can't get away. You know, they thought they were going to go to do a job, and then they get I'm going to go work a construction job, and you get whisked away to a call center that's like, we're not going to let you leave. We'll kill you if you leave, because it's a large, they said it was former casino organizations that ran casinos, but during the pandemic, they saw a drop in revenue because people weren't coming in person to the casinos. They reallocated their efforts to scamming over the phone to make money.
Well, if people aren't going to come to you and give you their money, then you got to go hunt them down and scam them.
Yeah, call
also,
them on the phone.
I love gambling.
Yeah.
But the house always wins, and they're designed for you not to win a ton of money. Mm-hmm. Does lightning strike and you do? Absolutely. Most of the time, will you? No, unless unless you can walk away. So just know that.
That's why you got to do the envelope method.
That's just
method.
My PSA.
The envelope method is you bring your gambling money in one envelope and then you put your winnings in the other one and you don't dip into the winnings to keep
it's
gambling.
It's too hard for me.
I know. It's
if
too
I
hard.
Am up and I feel like I'm hot and I'm having fun, I can't not dip into the other envelope.
Have we been to a casino together? I don't think we have. No, that's going to be a new rite of passage.
Yeah, it will. Yes.
I'm a slot baby.
I love
I'm
blackjack.
A slot mama.
Oh, I like blackjack. I love, especially if you've got like a group where it's most of the people you know at the table mm-hmm. and then you get a good dealer.
It's a good one.
Have I ever won a lot of money? Absolutely not.
Never.
Because I get cocky and I don't walk away in time.
You're like, hit me again. But at least that
they're like,
is
ma'am,
the kind of-
you owe us thousands. Do it. No.
Do it.
I've never gone down that enough. Hard, luckily.
No, for sure. But it's gambling's at least a scam that you do consensually most of the time, yeah. You know, unless absent, you know, some sort of a compulsion. But for the I know what I'm getting into and who's yes. taking my money from me and I'm okay with it. But the scam like this, Bella, like you said, good call. And good call for y'all calling the regional office to go like, yeah. hey, in case somebody else gets this, if, I don't know, some folks from McDonald's would have done that, maybe we wouldn't have had all those scam calls.
I was just thinking that. Yes. Let's not gatekeep information like that. Share it far and wide.
Share it far
and
wide.
So more people know. Well, thank you, Bella. I'm glad that you weren't just like, God, I guess Arizona's just fucking, this is how they do it out here. It's wild, wild west.
This is the wild, wild west, just like that song. The wild, wild west. You remember that song? Living in the wild, wild west.
Do I remember that song? Did I choreograph an entire dance in my living room to that song? Yes.
Oh, it's so good. I want to listen to that later.
I have not thought of that song in so long, but I bet I still know most of the words.
And I'm not talking about Wiki Wiki Wild West with is a great song, but that is not the one I'm thinking
no,
of.
No, there's
the Escape Club song is what I was thinking
yes,
of.
Yes.
We do love the Will
Smith
song. There's
a whip sound at the beginning yes. too.
Yeah.
Are you pulling it up? Man, oh, yeah. I haven't heard. This is going to be a flood of memories.
We have
to. I can
to.
Hear it in my head.
Let's see. This song?
Hell yeah.
It's just got such a good start. I think legally mm-hmm. we can't play much longer than that, but you but you can you find Wild Wild West.
I do remember as a kid, though, the lyrics are not coming back to me. Gimme, gimme Wild West. Gimme, gimme safe sex.
Yes.
Gimme fun, something, something, live it up. So, yeah. I mean,
Ronnie's
in retrospect.
Got a new, yeah. She's so mean. Yeah, this song is good. If
I don't
sleeping
care.
On this.
I love her. Eyes and her wild, wild hair. Is that
yes.
the word?
Yeah.
Turn to the dance to the beat that she likes best.
Headed for the Headed 90s. For the, living
yeah,
in the wild,
already there,
wild west.
But, oh, were we in the 80s?
That song is from the 80s. Yeah. That song 89? Came out in 88. Yeah, 88,
89. God damn. I was 9 years old. Gimme wild west. Gimme safe sex. I'm telling you. It was the time of like... you know, HIV was like really yeah. becoming on the scene. So a lot of songs had that message back then.
Give me love. Give me love. Give me time to live it up. It's what we all want. And Escape Club was there to give us those lyrics.
I'm
even
listening
before Will Smith.
To that as soon as we stop recording. Is
yeah.
on the way to your house to do the live Q&A. I'm going to listen to that.
It's going to be so fun. If you're listening to this, you will be listening to this on Friday. You can watch the replay of the live Q&A. We will probably listen to that song as well.
Yes. Well, thank you, Bella, for helping us unlock that memory.
Yeah. Sinisterhood will be right back. I recently wore my Quince sweater to a party, and several different people were like, oh, that's you look great. And I was like, I'm literally just wearing, like, I thought
the
I
The other
just,
day, I yes. you showed up, and I go, where'd you get this from? And you were like, this is my Quince sweater. And I said, well, it looks fantastic.
All I had some jeans on. I had like a cute tee and then I threw my cardigan over it. It like elevated my whole outfit mm-hmm. and I looked like very snazzy with very little effort and it was not expensive, which is why I love it.
That's what we love. Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14 karat gold jewelry.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us all. Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. That's premium is the word. It is like premium.
Yeah, very soft, looks very luxe, and you feel like, you know,
elevated.
When you feel good, when you feel like you look good, then you just present yourself in a more confident manner, which truly, we always love. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/creepy for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/creepy to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/creepy.
This next one is from Gail. Well, speaking of audio, this next one has an audio clip that we will have Tommy clip in at the end for everyone to hear, and you can tell us what you think. And this is from Gail, and it is called Retrospective Ghost Encounter on the Queen Mary. Hello, all. My daughter is an aficionado of all things paranormal. So for her birthday last week, we went to the Queen Mary. We got a room for just one night and two tickets for their Paranormal Encounters tour. I didn't go on the tour because it was 2 hours long and it sounded exhausting to me, so she invited a good friend to go with her. Before they left on their adventure, I joked that I would probably be the one to see a ghost, since they would be in the middle of a herd of noisy ghost hunters taking pictures of everything and scaring off the ghost, while I would be sitting in a haunted stateroom all alone. Anyway, I spent most of the time watching reruns of The Office, but at some point, I decided that I should take pictures of the view from our windows, which are actually just portholes. I don't know why, but for some reason, I only took two pictures of the harbor and nothing else. When my daughter and her friend returned, they told me about the tour, where they had heard some great stories about the ship's fabled history and its ghostly residents. Sadly, however, they didn't see any ghosts. I told them that I hadn't either. We spent the rest of the evening listening to spooky podcasts, and the next morning we revisited some of the places they had seen on the tour before heading home. We had a great time, despite the apparent absence of ghosts. 5 days later, when I was downloading a picture my brother had sent me, I opened my photos for the first time since the birthday trip, and I noticed that one of the pictures I took on the ship had been taken in cinematic mode, which takes a 1 second video with sound. I don't remember ever using that mode before. I clicked on the arrow to start it and was shocked to hear a voice whisper the word, Daisy. At first, I wondered if I had been whispering to myself for some reason, but I knew I hadn't. There was no one else in the room at the time, and the TV was off. There is no earthly explanation for this that I can think of. I'll send you the clip so you can hear it for yourself. Thank you for reading this, and I hope to hear you read it back someday.
Well, this clip we have, I'm going to hit play and listen loudly.
Daisy?
It does sound like Daisy.
I had to go back and be like, was her name Daisy? And then I remembered, no, it's Gail. So who's Daisy?
That's a great question.
Next question.
That the Queen Mary is, if I'm recalling correctly, we've had a couple of stories about it. I think Haley from Inhuman, when she was on Freaky Friday, her mom got married there. Her parents got married there. But then also Em and Christine, I believe that's where they were when they investigated right after Zach Bagans and all the ghosts were really mad at they just in generally just like mad.
Yeah.
And they had to be like, we don't know that guy. But I think it was on the Queen Mary because we got to go there. I'd really like to go on board, especially now that we got Gail capturing some evidence too.
Where is it?
I believe it's in California.
Okay. Not where I thought. Well, we have some kind of auditory something that was captured. It does sound very much like a name, not just like a
Daisy.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a hard, it's not just like, which could be static or something, but
it's
I don't
not
know.
Like a Bagans where it's like, and they're like, he said, Zach, come here. You can hear it. And it's like, and he's like, listen again, how clearly you can hear my full name. It says Zachary Michael Bagans. right there.
Is that really his middle name?
No, I just made it up. I don't know. It seemed
what
like
if it is, though? I'm Googling it.
What if I guessed it? I just know. The Queen Mary is in Long Beach. I also Googled that. But
okay, cool.
It is Daisy. This auditory pickup thing is a lot more legit than I've heard in pretty much anything on Ghost Adventures.
No, for sure. Yes. Okay. Sorry.
It's not.
It is not Michael.
Reginald.
No.
Timothy?
No, but you're in. It's the Farnsworth. Same vibe. Zachary Farnsworth Bagans. Alexander. Third.
Okay. There you go.
But
I gotta say.
In that vein.
Given his appearance and attitude, I'm shocked he goes by Zach and not Xander.
Oh, shit.
He seems like a Xander point. Type.
He does seem like a Xander type. Yeah. What I would do, Gail, is start doing some research about a possible person named Daisy on the Queen Mary and see mm-hmm. where that might get you. Or maybe even ask someone that works there. They love talking about all that, the people that work on those places.
For sure. And send it to them. They might want to, you know, add it on the ghost tour, like tell visitors about it. So I love that when you capture something that's like otherwise inexplicable insofar as like the television was off, you were in the room alone, Ghost Guild style, where you got to rule everything out.
And then you're like, well, I don't know. It could be something. It could be nothing. But I can't say that it isn't something. I mean, there was some noise there. Here's my question. And we don't know. What if her daughter's name is Daisy? I feel like she would have said that, though. Yeah, I feel like she would have included that. If that wasn't included, Gail, you really buried the lead.
Yeah. It was somebody trying to look for Daisy. Your daughter would be like, hey, come hang out, Daisy. And you're like, she's on the paranormal tour. She's not in here.
They're like, I know. We never go on those because you're right. Everybody's loud and taking pictures. We want to watch The Office, too.
Yeah, hanging out in your room alone in a haunted ship is definitely a way to get an encounter.
That's what you'll be doing in the afterlife.
Yeah, dude, just chilling.
Just watching reruns of The Office season 4.
Turn it back on. Turn the Office back on. Turn the TV back on. I was watching that.
Same though.
For real. I'm just trying to kick back in the afterlife on a ship.
I can't imagine that my afterlife is much different than my now life.
Yeah.
And that I'm just like, I don't know. Yeah, let's gonna do this. Chill.
Let's roll.
I'd be a very chill ghost to have haunt you because just like, I mean, occasionally you would hear a God damn it coming from the other room in a ghostly whisper.
They're like, that is, you know what? I have the best ghost because all my pictures end up so straight. Like, if they're ever askew, they just get completely, the couch gets realigned to right exactly where it should be. And just every once in a while, I hear a God damn it, but it's fine. It's only, you know, whenever I think the ghost trips on something.
I put paint samples up in my kitchen because I wasn't sure. And then the next day I came in and they'd all fallen down but one. And I was like, that is the one that I should choose.
Yeah,
I'm a helper. Look for the helpers.
Yeah, it's like Beetlejuice when they're like trying to redesign it and Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis are like, don't paint it that color. Come on. It's like, we can coexist here. We just have to make some compromises on the interior. So I look forward to, maybe I can get a ghost like as helpful as you someday.
We'll haunt together. So.
That's true. We can help others.
We'll be like one of those HGTV shows, but in the afterlife where we go around and just help people with stuff. And
it's called Scream or Scram. And if you... You either scream because you love it or you scram because you leave and you hate it. That's okay. We'll get a new contestant next week. No worries.
There's always somebody to scream on Scream or Scram. Gosh, we got it. That and I'll give you
$50,000.
I'll give you 50 grand.
We need these to happen. Where are the television producers? We will find them. Well, thank you, Gail. And we'll make it to Long Beach and hit that Queen Mary someday.
Mm-hmm.
This next one is from Connor, and the subject line is, my experience with ghosty shit and your podcast. And a big rumble of thunder hit, like right as I was saying that. So, appropriate. Connor writes, hey ladies, starting off with the obligatory, I love the pod, and y'all keep me sane in my long hours in the tractor where I get to binge y'all for 8 to 10 hours at a time. And thank you for your avid support of the LGBTQ+ community and drag. As an openly gay drag performer in a small conservative town in eastern Oregon, y'all bring some comfort and escape. Now, on to the ghosty shit. My whole life, I've always been more in tune to the paranormal. In October of 2023, I moved back to my small hometown in Eastern Oregon into a house owned by some good family friends about 6 miles out of town. My first few weeks in the house, living alone at the time, were met with doors opening, disembodied voices, and things moving across the table, seemingly on their own. As time went on, I was able to communicate with whomever was living in my house with me and came to the conclusion that it was the elderly lady who lived there before me and passed a couple years ago. Since then, she still makes herself known and hangs around, but it isn't as prevalent as she was when I first moved in. With my job, I get to travel all around the county farming. A few weeks ago, I was in a neighboring town about 30 minutes away and couldn't shake this feeling that someone was there with me when I was alone in the field. Upon further research, there was a young girl and an older man that had died in the 70s while a house was being built. Throughout the next couple weeks, I couldn't shake that feeling that something was around and was getting increasingly upset. One day, I was washing my car and a lady came up to me and said, "I'm a medium and you need to sage yourself, like ASAP." She told me I had three spirits following me around. One, who I could only see as my great-grandpa who passed before I was born, who she said could be my spirit guide, and another younger female spirit in her late 20s, early 30s. Then she brought up the two deaths in the neighboring town I was working in. She said a man had followed me from that area, and he is not happy. Since meeting the medium, the malevolent attachment has gotten worse. Before, he wouldn't interact with me at all besides making himself known. Now, I've woken up with scratches in a place I couldn't have scratched myself, a handprint on my wrist, almost like I was grabbed, and pulling on my clothes. I saged myself and my house and still felt his presence. He made himself known that night by scratching me yet again, setting off smoke alarms at around 1 a.m., and still hangs around. So, any recommendations on getting rid of a malevolent spiritual attachment would be greatly appreciated. I just listened to your podcast with the ladies from Two Girls, One Ghost, and towards the end of that episode, and as I started Freaky Friday episode 69, nice, the audio started to sound like there was an interference somewhere between my AirPods and my phone in my back pocket, and it was messing with the audio. But every time I would turn my phone on, the sound would stop, leading me to think that whatever is attached to me was interfering, or it was the ghost from Two Girls, One Ghost messing with me. Anyway, thank you all for reading my story and just being the bad bitches you are. I hope to catch a live show one day and meet you in person. Stay creepy. Much love from Connor and Miss Jenna Tolls, which is at djenna.tollzz on Instagram.
Well, first, Connor sent us some pics of him in drag in the snow in stiletto boots doing a photo shoot in It's 3 feet of snow.
I don't know how the snow is so not good. Melted because it's fire. The fucking look is fire.
True.
You would burn it. Burn the snow because of how fire these looks are. I love
the dedication.
So much.
The short skirt. You're cold. You're freezing.
Beautiful.
There's snow coming down. But great pictures.
Like a beautiful snow bunny. Sorry, Connor, that you have an attachment. Everybody listening, please tell us. You got to holler at, Susan from Creeps and Crimes.
Susan from Creeps and Crimes.
Susan can help, I feel like.
She has helped a lot of our listeners, our Creeps and Crimes besties. They've swear by her.
Yeah, Taylor and Morgan were like, that would be their answer. And I would ask them, and I know that's going to be their answer. So
we will link Susan's information in the show notes with this, in the show description, because I think we've linked it before, but
just
put it out there again for anybody, and let her know we sent you. She knows who we are, so tell her, I got something going on.
To get rid of it.
Now, I'm probably going to curse myself, but why doesn't a medium ever come up to me just randomly and tell me that three spirits are with me? I want so bad for just some random stranger to turn to me in the store and be like,
"I'm a medium.
Was your father's name Steve?" And I'm just like, what? Like, you know, like, just like, I want something like that to happen, and it doesn't. Yes. But I don't want a bad spirit, so yeah. I'm sorry that
be careful what you
nobody
wish for.
Wants to wake up and have scratch marks and like your wrist is being grabbed. And fucking rude. Don't set off any alarm at 1 a.m.
go to hell. Get out of my house and go straight to hell for that. Because I don't
see,
care
we
what
would
your
never
life
do
like.
This in no. the afterlife. Screamer scram. We're not setting off alarms at 1 a.m.
We'll do a test during the daylight hours to make yep. sure you're safe because it's part of any house plan. But we're not 1 a.m. and no scratchings and no wrist grabbings or scratchings. That's we don't like that. But mm-mm. yeah, maybe there's probably some. I have a person in my life who will tell me sometimes like, oh, I'm feeling this way spiritual, and they'll be like, do you like cord cutting and like explain to me kind of about that, or do there might be some type of ritual that you could do that would help you kind of get it away. I'm a firm believer that if you believe it, it's powerful. You know, like it's one of those where not everything's going to work for everybody, because if you're like, ah, oh, this is kind of bullshit, I'm going to half-ass it. But if you truly find something that makes you feel better and you believe it, I think that's the most efficacious magic power you can have within yourself. So maybe Susan can help, or if any of our listeners have some suggestions for how Connor can shake this horrible, malevolent entity, I'm sure it would be welcome.
You got to find that medium who yeah. clearly
go back. Just be like, did you put this
chomping
on me?
At the bit to give you some information?
Are you the one that put this on me? Did you put it on me? Mm. I don't think so. I think she was just an observer. But stay beautiful and fantastic. You told us yes. to stay creepy, but Connor/Jenna, stay beautiful, because I love these pictures you sent.
Yes, can't wait to hopefully see you at a live show one day.
That would be amazing. We got to get back to Oregon.
Oh, yeah, I love Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, this next one is from Jess, and the subject line is Celebrity Stalker Experience, kind of. Jess writes, hi, Christy and Heather. It's Jess, the one who got stuck in a lift for 14 and a half hours. Thank you so much for reading my last story. It made my day. As I said all the nice gushy things last time I wrote in, I'm not going to repeat them now, other than to say I was delighted to hear a reprise of Heather's clown voice in Freaky Friday 77, and it was just as great as I remembered it. Once again, this isn't a story that fits neatly into any of your Freaky Friday categories, but I was inspired to write in after the first Jill Dando episode, when you were talking about how some super fans or stalkers genuinely believe that they are in real relationships with the objects of their affections, which made me remember something I hadn't thought about in decades. First, some backstory. I grew up between the UK and Australia, and both my parents are actors. When I was a teenager in Australia, my dad was on a TV show that was relatively well known and aired weekly throughout my high school years. He would get recognized quite a lot, particularly in rural areas where the state-owned channel that broadcast his show was often the only one that people had access to. It was the 90s. As a teen, I found this annoying at best and absolutely mortifying at worst, particularly when my mother joined the cast of the same show playing my father's love interest, including a scene where they woke up in bed together, presumably postcoitally. Can you imagine the sheer blood-curdling horror of being a 15-year-old girl whose parents are basically banging on national television? It's 30 years later, and I'm blushing just typing this. Backstory over. Prior to his stint as a TV doctor, my dad was in quite a lot of films in the 50s and 60s. And trust me, I know how gross this is going to sound. Back in the day, he was a stone-cold fox. I will attach photographic evidence. In my defense, he was 50 when I was born and looked quite different. So looking at pictures of him when he was young is like looking at a totally different person. Ever so often, when I was growing up, he would get fan mail from people who mostly knew him from his old films. And still does, even today at the age of 95. When I was 15 or 16, my dad got a letter that was a bit different. 30 years on, I still have such clear memories of what this letter looked like. Expensive recycled paper, the kind with bits of leaves and flowers in it, scented with perfume and written in beautiful calligraphy in violet ink. I remember it being incredibly long, around 15 pages, though this may be an exaggeration, and all in German. My dad doesn't speak a word of German, but at the time, I was studying German at school, so he gave the letter to me to look at. I could make out enough to know that this letter was incredibly weird, but not enough to really understand it, so I took it to school to show my German teacher. In case it's not clear, as a family, we're not very good at boundaries. Anyway, it transpired that the woman who had written the letter was absolutely obsessed with my father, based on having seen some of his old films. I can't remember all the details, but the letter set out an incredibly elaborate fantasy world in which this woman and my father were soulmates, meant to be together, and in fact, in some way in her mind, they already were together. Obviously, this was extremely strange for me to read. This was my dad, a man who was then in his mid-60s, but I remember feeling terribly sorry for the woman, who was very clearly unwell. She had enclosed some photographs of herself, and I remember her being very young, maybe mid to late 20s, and really beautiful. To this day, I have no idea what could have triggered this obsession for her. It seemed such an odd one for her to have. I don't think we ever felt at all threatened. She was in Germany, and we were in Australia, and the situation was more sad than anything else. So I reported the contents of the letter back to my dad, and he wasn't sure what to do. It didn't seem right to just ignore her completely. Like I said, at the time he was playing a TV doctor, so he had access to a load of medical professionals who were advisors on the show, including a psychiatrist. In the end, he showed the letter to the psychiatrist, who advised my dad to write a response as if it was coming from his agent, thanking the woman for her kind letter and gently explaining that the object of her affections was a 65-year-old man who was married with 3 children and definitely not her soulmate. I'm not sure how good or right this advice is, or whether the same advice would be given now, but that's what my dad did, and he never heard from her again. Thinking about it now, I can't help wondering what happened to her, whether she got the help she clearly needed, or whether her obsession just found a new target. There's no way I'll ever know. And then we got a picture of a Stone Cold Fox.
Respectfully,
respectfully.
Jess. Holy shit.
Hello. Yeah. Also, way to pick a shirtless picture with some like back muscles showing.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. Nice. It's weird for me to know that the person that I'm looking at in this picture is now 95, but being like, nice. Yeah. And then thinking, this is a 95-year-old man.
Isn't that so? I was thinking about that. Somebody just, I need to send it to you because I know you also love Justin Bateman, but so, they've been doing these things on TikTok where they'll play like clips of celebrities that have been famous for a really long time, like from when they were like their initial appearance, like as many once a year until they get older. And like Jason Bateman still can get it. I think he's in his prime, if I may say
so. He's gotten better looking as he's aged.
So handsome with age. Mm-hmm. But it's so cool to like look at the pictures and be like, we, all of us, and it seems the times that are just right before and right after where we're at currently, it all seems sort of relatively like we're the same, but we live so many different lives. And like you and I, between going through your diaries one night and going through my old Facebook another night, being like, I've been so many different people. And now he's a 95-year-old, you know, grandpappy, but at one of his
fan
roles,
letters though.
Hell yeah, he is. But it's like, you know, at one time in your life, you were this other person, and you are, on the one hand, you're still the same, but on the other hand, you're different. I don't know. It's just like fascinating.
Yeah, no, so I get it. I get it.
Like with being like, listen, my dad used to be hot. He's a hot TV doctor.
No one is going to look at this picture and say
objectively.
Otherwise.
Yeah, objectively, he's very
objectively,
handsome.
He's a very good looking man. And, the fact that at 95 he's still getting fan mail, that shows you he was the crush for a lot of people.
It meant something to somebody, yeah.
I feel just like you're so you were so mature emotionally for your age at that time to recognize this woman is unwell instead of just gawking at it like some teenagers might, you know?
Yeah, to look on it with empathy and being like, oh, that's quite sad. Like she's, you know, she's in love with, honestly, too, when you're an actor, there's like the you that's at home with your family. And there's this like TV character that everybody's like, you know, Steve Carell is not Michael Scott, but we all love Michael Scott as its own entity. And then Steve Carell is a person that, you know, an actor that we support his work and we like him and everything. Mm-hmm. But it's fascinating that this woman was very clearly fixated on this like cinematic version of Jess's dad and not the reality of like, I'm just trying to raise my kids in Australia. Like, what? Yeah. I don't speak German. I'm sorry.
What a flex, though, that I guess can be embarrassing for kids. It never occurred to me that if you're a teenager and both of your parents are actors and they're on TV and like pretty well known, that you'd be like, oh, I can't believe they worked like that scene in where y'all so were supposed to have just had sex and now I gotta go to school. I'm like, is this how Ella's gonna feel one day?
Be like, she's my like, mom talks well, about crazy stuff.
So my teacher told me that she listened to your podcast and I didn't know you say finger bang as much as you do. And then I have to just... I have to own it, and I gotta sit down, and we gotta have some talks.
You're like, I'm sorry, kiddo. I didn't think about that. No, but I think that is different, though, to have to watch. Even if it's not embarrassing that other people are seeing it, you're like, I mean, I'm glad that my parents had sex to have me, but I'm not trying to like think about that ever. No, and I'm especially never, I'm not ever, trying ever. To see it. And it's very realistic because y'all are really married. So yeah. I'm good. Yeah. I wonder.
Yeah.
If other celebrity kids are like, God, mom and dad, that's so embarrassing. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez's kids are like, we watched Geely and it was embarrassing. And they're like, well, oh, is it because of the sex scenes?
It was embarrassing for
and they're like,
everybody.
Yeah, like, was it because of the sex scenes? No, the script, okay?
No, it wasn't the sex scenes. In fact, that was, we didn't even realize they were happening. We couldn't get over the acting and the writing.
Yeah, it was just you guys on screen. No, but that's a good way to go about it, I think, to respond as a third party, separate from, so that it doesn't open a dialogue between Jess's dad and this person who's targeting him, and also is not like, never write here again. But it's like, oh my gosh, thank you for your kind words. Really appreciate it. He's very happily married with his kids. Like, thanks so much. Please find someone else / a real person in your real life to be in love with.
Yeah. I hope that she did get the help. I also can picture exactly this type of stationery.
Yeah.
That, you know, I loved that. I thought that was the fanciest paper.
Oh, yeah.
But also it's like
stems in the paper.
It's made out of, it feels like you made it, you know?
It's like pulpy.
Did you ever go to like, well, where I grew up in Fort Worth, it was Log Cabin Village, but it was like one of those, you know, places you go on field trips and everyone is dressed old timey and pretends it's like old timey times.
They're like, welcome to the apothecary. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, and somebody's churning butter, and then I remember one of them taught us how to make paper. Got something and mashed it up with something, and then you smashed it and let it dry. And that's why I wouldn't have survived back then, because I really skimmed over those directions.
You're like, you smash something up, lay it out, yada, yada, yada. You have paper. And it's like, what were you supposed to smash? Great question. I don't know.
Don't remember that part.
Maybe it was a tree. You smush a tree, and then you dry it, and it becomes paper. And I think that's how it works.
Bark?
I saw a lady on TikTok who was doing kind of a satire of like trad wives. And she was like, my kids wanted to color. And so I made some homemade paper. And so it was like very extra. But it's just cool to see like the process of it, of like, smashing the pulp out and leaving it out. But I think that type of paper was always like high. You would get it at a fancy paper store like Michael's in the craft section. And it was like $1.50 a page or like 75 cents a page. And it was like, oh, that's the high
and
quality.
And 15
shit.
Of those. Dude, not she, cheap.
And postage from Germany to Australia. Yeah. Plus a quill. She had to get a quill pen to do her calligraphy.
She had to learn calligraphy.
Yeah, she was dedicated.
She went through a lot. So
only
I hope
the best for Dr. McSteamy or whoever this was.
Man. Yeah. I feel like he's McSteamy. He's not McDreamy. He's McSteamy.
He's McSteamy. Yeah. Well, the OG, the original Dr. McSteamy. Mm-hmm. Please, Jess, send your father our regards.
Yes, please do. And please tell him, even though he is 95, that he could get it.
Yeah, for sure.
Back in the day, and probably still can.
That swag don't quit. The swag don't have an age.
Swag doesn't age out. Swag stays with you. You might age
it
visually,
grows.
But your swag... That's in you. That's like innate.
Yeah. The swag can climb for sure. Well, thank you, Jess. Sinisterhood will be right back. Well, this very final one is from Bethany. And the subject line, I'm so excited. It's werewolves.
This has got to be made into a song.
like a bluegrass country song, kind of. The subject line is Werewolves of Kentucky. And Bethany writes, "Hi, y'all. I want to first say how much I look forward to hearing your lovely voices each and every week. I'll keep the accolades short, but just know how much you mean to this community of listeners and how badass both of y'all are. Thank you for all that you do. Okay, let's get into it. This story is actually something that happened to my dad and stepmom, but it's too good not to send your way. To give you all a little background on where my family is from, we hail from a community about 30 minutes northeast of Louisville, Kentucky. Much of the county is pretty rural still. Imagine two-lane country roads, winding turns through bluegrass fields, horse farms and tobacco barns that dot the landscape and ridges, and bluffs that rise up along the Ohio River. A truly beautiful and magnificent corner of the U.S. But in such beauty, there may just be a beast lurking in those hills. This incident takes place in September of 2008, a few days into a massive power outage that was caused by Hurricane Ike. Yes, I said hurricane. Despite being landlocked, we do occasionally get those passing through here in Kentucky. My parents were living in a small subdivision at the time, but the area was still not well developed, and it was about a 10-minute drive to the main town. After the storm passed, they decided to get out of the house in the daylight and take a slow drive to gawk at the damage in the area. They headed out on a narrow country road nearby their home. On this road, there's a large white farmhouse up on a ridge. Their attention was directed toward the outbuildings of that farm as they scanned for downed trees and such. Something in motion caught their eyes about 100 yards away. It seemed to come from behind one of the outbuildings, move across the field parallel to them, and finally out of their view. They both fell silent as their minds struggled to make sense of what they were seeing. My stepmom did a slow turn toward my dad, and they both said something like, "Did you see that? What the hell was that?" Neither of them knew exactly what it was they had just witnessed, but here are the facts on which they agree. It was black, large, and tailless. It was running with purpose at tremendous speed, a speed few animals could match. Its profile didn't match up with anything usual, such as a dog, coyote, wolf, bear cat, or an exotic pet or farm animal. Its gait resembled a running gorilla or baboon, low slung in the back, higher, bulky, and powerful in the front. My parents are pretty scientific in their attitude towards such things. The rational explanation and possible candidate would be an injured or sick animal, but even that leaves a bunch of things unexplained. Both of my parents agree that the best description of what they saw came from their memories of stories about werewolves, except with no tail. So, what do you guys think? Is there a werewolf lurking in the hills of Kentucky? Maybe. But you better believe every time I drive those roads, my eyes stay peeled for any strange and unusual creatures that may appear at any moment. Thanks so much for taking the time to read this story. Hopefully we can get you guys to visit Louisville on one of your tours. We'd love to have you. Come drink some bourbon with me and I can tell you some tales about the Pope Lick Monster, aka the Goat Man, another excellent cryptid that we have hanging around these parts.
The tailless Kentucky werewolf.
Damn werewolf. I mean, that's wild that it's bipedal, running kind of in like bulky at the top and like running parallel. That's not the
running
kind of thing you shine your lights
purpose.
On. With purpose. It was like like Forrest Gump, just straight line.
It had somewhere to be. It had somewhere
I'm late.
If it isn't a werewolf, what's the next scenario? Because I was like, and this is probably not at all true because I think it would have been in the news, but what I was like, what if a gorilla escaped from the zoo
the hurricane
because of the
it.
Hurricane and it's just trying to get back to the zoo, but a gorilla in the wild, I think that is even more terrifying than a werewolf.
Yeah, I would take werewolf over gorilla because it's like, you never, I mean, werewolf, there's a whole silver bullet, plus you just have to wait for the moon kind of thing. Mm-hmm. A gorilla is like, that thing is in distress. Somebody go save it. Yeah. Help it. You're probably just thinking about gorillas getting loose because you're from Dallas, and the gorillas get loose at our zoo, like, too much.
Where
like,
they just arguably, run wild.
They run free. No, I my guesses would be, number one guess, probably werewolf. Second guess, gargoyle. Third guess, hill people. I mean, I'm from Tennessee. It's probably my kinfolk run over from, they were running back towards Tennessee with purpose of like, the hurricane blew me all the way to Louisville. I gotta get back.
They gotta get back. Do gargoyles have wings?
The only reason why I said gargoyle is because I learned on the Zach Bagans Netherworld show episode of the Paris Catacombs, Father Stephen, the real life vampire, him and Zach Bagans were saying that they thought all the stories about gargoyles were really stories about werewolves, and it was the same creature. So I feel like if they know, they probably, the real life vampire knows better than me. Like, what do I know?
What did I hear about a gargoyle recently? It's
you on that gargoyle algorithm?
Yeah, yeah. I got people that talk to
me
about gargoyles.
My phone's right here. I'm like, gargoyle, gargoyle, gargoyle. I hope it comes up in my algorithm now. I just said it. Because you know them, they're listening all the time.
I think that it's like a gargoyle, the term gargoyle actually specifically refers to the statues on the side of the building if it's a fountain.
Like, well, it has to be spitting or pissing.
There's some, like, I don't even know how to Google
type
this.
Peeing gargoyle statue.
And out of their mouth. Why did you go pee?
I said,
what is a gargoyle's purpose? They ward off evil spirits, guarding the buildings they occupy and protecting those. Okay, a gargoyle is a decorated water spout that projects from a roof and carries rainwater away from the walls of a building.
I'm going to send you this gargoyle picture because I'm going to buy it and put it in my yard, and I just need you to know when you come over that you might see it. It is the... It's only $192, so I feel like worth every penny of it. It's so good. Look at it. It's thinking. It's so good. It says gargoyle thinker.
God, it's muscular.
It says sitting on his pedestal, Socrates can ponder the meaning of life or his next victim from your front porch, back patio, or a garden bed full of flowers. It says menacing presence at nearly 2 feet tall. This muscular gargoyle is a sight to behold as he wards off evil while flanking a garden path or a stately fireplace. You could put it inside.
Oh, of course you could.
It's high quality. It's used real crushed stone bonded with durable resin. I gotta get this thing. It's a Toscano gargoyle. Paris is.
May I
like
say,
this.
He doesn't look intimidating to me. Rather, he looks like he's kind of being thoughtful in about a conversation he's having with someone. He kind of looks like he's like looking at you and thinking like, is that really the decision that you think would be best for you? Like, I feel like you could talk through some stuff with him.
Yeah, he looks like it has a lot of high star ratings. He's gorgeous. Love the look. Shorter than we wanted. Okay, well, let's not hate on him because he's shorter. He's still a king. Great gift and worth the money. Amazing
great
quality.
Great gift. To whom did you gift this? Now, I got to tell you, if you're going to flank your garden path, you got to get one for either side or it just looks stupid. So if you're going to do that, get two. On your gargoyles.
I'm going to max out my credit card. Like, my financial advisor is like, and what exactly are gargoyle Socrates? I'm like, it was a necessity. It was a business. It was also a business expense, if I must say so.
So I'm going to be writing this off.
Stephanie, who from Outdoor Aesthetics, who did my front yard, is going to be like, I did not plan for that in the design. And I'm like, I had to dig some of the bushes up.
Can you stop saying my business's name on your show, please?
Yeah, she's like, don't tell anyone I did your yard because there's a goddamn gargoyle in it.
Two. I'm telling you, if you get one, you got to get two.
I'll get one and see if it's worth it, and then I'll get two.
Okay. What's going to make you decide if it was the amount of people that stop and comment on it?
The complaints from neighbors.
You just like all of a sudden become a front yard person where you're just constantly hey, neighbors.
I've been wanting to get a chair. I was like, I'm going to get a chair and start sitting in my front driveway. Like, not my driveway, sit on my front porch just to like maybe read or just be out there, eyes and ears in the neighborhood. And what better way to have my gargoyle with me?
What better way? What better conversation piece for those that don't know you to stop and talk to you? than Socrates the Gargoyle.
I'm really sad that that came up as pissing gargoyle, but he wasn't, he's not pissing that I know of from the picture, although I might buy him and then things change. Well,
he doesn't, yeah, from the picture, he looks like he's really taking in what you're saying and like he's a good listener.
See, I gotta get it, my front porch all squared away and he's gonna be the centerpiece. So I'll post pictures for you guys.
Well, we'll definitely have to share at least this on socials so everyone can see what's gonna be your latest oddity.
I'm gonna add to cart, go ahead now, because I don't want it to sell out when all y'all hear this. That, it's, yeah, it's 25% probably off right now, so it's back now.
Well, you'd be stupid not to buy it.
Happy Friday, babe.
Where is this being shipped from?
It says it's from the Design Toscano designers. So
okay,
it's slightly bigger than a soccer ball is what the comparison. So it's not that big.
2 feet? What kind of soccer ball are these people using? That's not how big a fucking soccer ball is. It's like a large beach ball. And even at that, I think this thing would be bigger than that.
Well, I'll have to put a beach ball next year. Maybe I can decorate him for Christmas and holiday. It's Easter's coming up. I'll get him some bunny ears. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What better way to celebrate Easter than with your gargoyle?
Oh, it's the reason, man, for the season. All right.
Yes, isn't he though?
Well, man, I think that's a werewolf, definitely is what y'all got on your hands in old Kentucky. And Bethany, we'd love to come to Kentucky and have some bourbon and hear some of these Pope Lick stories.
Never been to Kentucky. Would love to go. Ooh. And somebody's got to write the Tailless Kentucky Werewolf. Please. Somebody's got a fiddle and a banjo. Get your shit together.
Werewolves of Kentucky. Yeah. It tracks. You can do it. Somebody will do it.
Somebody will do it. Well, thank you so much, Bethany, and thank you so much to everyone else that sent in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free just to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 800 hours of content. We have true crime headlines coming this week. We have a new Am I the Asshole coming this week. We have a new mini-sode coming this week. We got a lot of stuff that's going up, and we also got a lot of stuff that's been up.
Oh, so much stuff's been up. By the time you hear this, we will have done our February monthly Q&A, which thanks everybody for your patience as I was getting over my sickness. So you can watch replays of that Q&A as well as all of our past Q&As. We have all of our past bonus content live streams. If you missed Docuary and you want to go back and revisit those from either this year or years before, all of that is available to you on demand. And if you're not sure and you just want to poke around, you can do a free trial where you sign up for any of our levels. We always say sign up for the highest level so you can like poke around. And then before the week is up, you can change your subscription to whatever you want it to be. Or if that's all you want to do, that's cool too. Just come and check it out. But we'd love to have you join one of the best communities of listeners on the internet. And you get ad-free episodes and merch discounts and all kinds of good stuff.
Monthly live streams, weekly audio content. There's all sorts of stuff that you can get from joining over there. And we're going to be going back on tour soon, and patrons get first dibs on tickets and VIP tickets, which always sell out. So that's another perk to being over there, too.
That's right. First dibs. You can head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. We also have a deep discount clearance going on right now on some older merch. We have our 2023 Full Moon Energy shirt, a 2022 Texas Theater shirt, as well as our cover logo that are all on sale. And you can use your Patreon merch discount. So check the pin post on Patreon to get your discount code check out our newest design with the Flatwoods Monster designed by Ella, our junior researcher.
I love it so much. It's so, so cute. While you're on our website, you can also review the show, follow us on socials, and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to live show tickets.
You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod, and like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Check out full video versions of the show on YouTube. They drop early and ad-free on Patreon, but they're also on our YouTube channel, along with some other fun clips. We have shorter clips over on TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast on both, and find us on Cameo for our custom video shout out. So if you want us to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, congrats, it's about to be graduation season in a couple weeks, couple months, anything like that, we love to deliver happy messages and happy greetings for you, or pep talks, we do those as well. Congrats on your wedding day, any kind of a message from us, or we get the gargoyle involved once he gets here.
Jesus.
McGruff the Crime Dog, anything that we have in the studio, we would love to include in the video. So go to cameo.com and order your custom video shout out. And where can the lovely people find you on the internet?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm pretty much everywhere at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil and the gargoyle rules the airwaves. Keep it creepy.
Oh, keep it creepy.
Say.